This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. As we continue today our study of the great declarations of the cross, our blessed Lord died for us. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "He tasted of death for every man." Let each of us stop and think about the fact today that Jesus died for our sins and what it means to us. It says to every one of us, or at least it ought to say, that you have sinned, that your sin is real, that you cannot be saved unless you are saved by God, that God does have the power to save you, and He wants to save you because He loves you, but that in order to be saved because of the love and the grace and the mercy of God, you must study the truth, learn the truth, believe the truth, trust in it. Do as did Abraham of old, who wavered not through unbelief, but was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform. And not only does the cross declare that we must learn and know the truth, but that we must believe the truth. We must study it in a logical way, and as we preach and teach it to others, we must present it in a logical way. And by that we mean we must show the evidence that God has given and draw only the conclusions which are warranted by that evidence. And now today we continue with noting in the 13th point that the cross is God's supreme declaration of the necessity of lost men being baptized for the remission of their sins. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, a ruler among the Jews, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There Jesus made clear the necessity of the new birth. One cannot see or experience the new birth unless he is born again. But Nicodemus did not understand what he meant, and so he asked two questions. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Note clearly that this ruler among the Jews was not asking how little babies get into this world. He already knew that, of course. And when Jesus was answering the question, he didn't answer the question, how do little babies get here? That was not the question which was asked. Rather, Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born when he is old? And so Jesus is answering that question. And here's the way he answered it. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the water here has nothing whatever to do with physical birth. It has to do with a religious matter. And the only water involved in the Christian religion is the water of baptism. At the household of Cornelius, the Apostle Peter said, "Can any man forbid the water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When Philip the Evangelist preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, Jesus Christ, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. After this man had heard nothing preached but Jesus, he cried out, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You see, in preaching Jesus, you preach water. You preach water baptism, and you make clear that it's essential in order for one to be saved by the blood of Christ. And so we find in John chapter 3, verse 5, "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's just another way of saying, unless a man is baptized in obedience to Christ, he cannot be saved by the blood of Christ. He cannot be saved by the grace of God. Finally, the cross is God's supreme declaration of our hope of eternal life. Paul said in Titus 1 and 2, we live in hope of eternal life. 1 John 2:25, this is the promise which he promised us, even life eternal. If it were not for the cross, none of us could have any hope. We could look forward only to what we deserve, to be cast into hell, into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. But because of the grace of God, we can live our lives in hope and confidence of eternal life which shall follow this life.